It's Tuesday night, Jaguars fans. The Jack Del Rio show is on the air.
Boy, I don't know. I think he got a punt here.
He's not going to. They don't call him Gambling Jack for nothing. Maurice is over the right side. He's got it.
Wow. Talk about a sigh of relief. I mean, holy cow. You're on the 36-and-a-half.
Yes.
Going for it on fourth down. Wow.
That nickname, Gambling Jack.
That's deserved.
The Jack Del Rio show on the Jacksonville Jaguars radio network is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome into the broadcast studios at Everbank Field in Jacksonville for another edition of the Jack Del Rio Show. I am Brian Sexton, and we are joined via the magic of the phone line by head coach Jack Del Rio. Coach, how are you tonight? Coach, are you there? There we go. Now maybe you'll be there. Hey, Coach, how are you?
Good. I'm doing great.
I just want to tell you, you missed out on Seabest. They brought everything you like.
Oh.
Joe gave him a long list. So maybe next week.
Oh, I can't believe it.
I know. We've been waiting for that one. The folks at Seabest left a lot of good food here, and Joe has eaten almost all of it. It's a good thing. You didn't get anywhere close to his mouth.
They do a great job. We sure appreciate wonderful seafood they bring us. So.
And we would love to have them back next Tuesday night. How's that
all right.
A shameless plug?
That's excellent.
How the heck are you? You ready for this preseason thing to be done with and get on for the regular season?
Absolutely. Ready to roll, but we've got to finish up our business, and we've got one last affair Thursday night. Looking forward to it.
Coach, you got three numbers that you're looking at. Obviously, people know the active 53. You also have the game day 46, and then you have the big macro 61, which is the 53-man roster and the addition of those eight practice squad players. So as you look at this, is the 46 pretty much set? Are you looking at, you know, the difference there to 53? Are you looking at the eight in the practice squad? How many jobs are up for grabs on this team that, you know, was 8-8 a year ago but was pretty close to the division title on December the 20th? Give us a sense of just how many guys are still fighting for jobs.
Well, we're a stronger football team, without question. We made some significant improvements on the defensive side primarily, but we have some nice additions as well. I would say, you know, not trying to put too much drama into it, just being, you know, really honest. There are probably four or five battles that are, you know, last look, last opportunity, you know, to decide which way it may come down. That would be the high end, you know, saying about four or five numbers.
All right. And are we talking about the practice squad guys as well, or is that another category too?
No, that's talking about, really for me, I'm talking about, you know, the final, you know, 61 that we're going to end up with. And that's really, you know, when you break it all down, I mean, you know, we're working through the last parts of the roster, and you know, numbers at various positions could be different this year, and that's just, you know, we'll just see how it ends up playing out.
Well, and as you go through the evaluation, and this is something that people may or may not piece together, you really are looking at your practice squad as well, because you need guys who can get out there and run your scout team and shore up positions where perhaps you're a little thin. I mean, it really is a big picture view. But those eight guys whose names people don't know, who kind of come and go throughout the season occasionally, they're important to the evaluation, aren't they?
Well, they are. They are important. And what happens, especially in a year like this, where you didn't have May and June, you know, there are going to be some young men that may have been able to make a bigger push to actually make the roster, but were kind of, you know, hand tied a little bit by the fact they couldn't be here and grow in May and June. So, you know, they're. That's what the developmental squad is for, to develop, you know, young players into future players. And so it's absolutely very important to what we do.
All right, Coach, the word is that we'll see a little bit from Aaron Campman and from Maurice Jones. Of course, you know that because the word came from you. These are guys that are proud guys. They are tough guys. They are your leaders. They are players. Do you want to play them, or do you think that's important for these guys to play on the final preseason game? Or are they just so darn determined they won't leave you alone unless you give them a couple snaps?
Nah, well, I would never yield to that. It's what we all think is best, just for them to get a little action, knock a little bit of the rust off, let them get a little feel, or the game speed that we're going to be playing at, and knowing that we've been spending a lot of time keeping the climate controlled, keeping, you know, them in controlled conditions where, you know, they've been working hard, and the conditioning that they've been working on, but, you know, they have not been subjected to live action yet, and so it's been mostly with the team and the exercise that we can put them through to, you know, bring along conditioning, all the timing things that are necessary for them to be at their best, but not subjecting them to live drill. And so this will be the first real live work they've had.
You know, good questions, Coach. You know, at Mass, you know, in the line at the grocery store. You know, where's the offense? And I thought the offense, you know, was the heavyweight last year that really carried things. And my response, and tell me if I'm off base, is you will see the return of that offense when you see Maurice Jones-Drew back on the field, because he is so important to everything that you do.
Well, that's the easiest way to handle that. I mean, I think, you know, the proof of what did he have, six carries last year for minus 2 yards in the preseason or something?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, does that mean that he wouldn't have a great year? No. So there are things that we know about our football team, and there are things that we're trying to develop about our football team. And, you know, the thing is, we return that offense along with a much improved defense, you know, to the field this year. So we know we're a better football team. I mean, anybody that's looked at it, we've added pieces, we're stronger, and we've had a great, you know, camp and very professional camp, and the leadership has been very strong. And we're a better outfit than we were last year, so we're excited to get going.
You're famous for saying don't get ahead of the story on this show, down in the locker room, you know, down in the media room. But I do have to ask you, you know, it looks like, and you don't have to have an injury report until next Wednesday for the first time, but it's fair to say that Rashad Jennings is not going to be ready for the start of the regular season. So how do you divvy up the carries? Because he's a guy I know that you like. I mean, is that a Montel Owens? Is that a Brock Bolin? Is that a Deji Kareem? How do you play if Rashad Jennings is not ready to go?
Well, that'll be something we'll have to work through, because it doesn't look like he'll be ready. So, you know, we're still trying to determine all the details on how long, you know, he may be out and how long we'll need to answer that question. So right now, we just know we're not going to have him Thursday night. We're not working beyond that. But at some point, we'll have to address that.
Do you like Lewis Murphy at all?
I do.
Richard Murphy.
Richard, I do. I do like Murph, and I do like Harris. They've both been pretty good. They both have had their moments during this camp. I think, you know, we have some proven guys. I mean, look, you know, first of all, Mojo feels great. Deji's back. Brock and Greg are both guys that can run the ball. And Montel Owens is very underrated as not just a football player, but as a back who can carry the ball. I mean, he's played fullback. He can play halfback. He's been a great special teamer. And every time we do something with him and the ball, he does a great job of it.
All right. We're talking with the head coach, Jack Del Rio, here on the Jack Del Rio Show. We'll take a quick pause and rejoin the head coach after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, rolling right along here on the Jack Del Rio Show. Folks, as you get ready for game time, which is on Thursday night at 7:30, don't forget to stop by Gate. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than the folks at Gate. They've got snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today on your way home, Thursday on your way to the stadium, and all season long. By the way, kickoff is at 7:30 on Thursday evening, the Jaguars and the Rams. For those of you listening to News Talk WOKV, that's the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show starting at 4:30. Pick up the network at 6:30 with the Sonny's pregame show, followed by whistle-to-whistle coverage of the Jaguars and Rams in the preseason finale. After that, the Winn-Dixie postgame show. And then Cole and Mark will carry you through to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Jaguars wrap up the preseason at home against the Rams on Thursday. And we're joined for this Jack Del Rio show over the phone by the head coach. Coach, I'm looking at a story on ProFootballTalk.com, which is, as you know, is a very well-sourced place of information in the league. And they've got a story up, and I want to get your reaction to it. The headline is, Teams Face Fines for Certain On-Field Infractions by Players. And what they're saying is that in a memo, there was a club remittance policy to include 11 different on-field infractions. And the infractions are striking, kicking, kneeing, horse collar tackle, face mask violations, leg whip, late hit, spearing, impermissible use of the helmet, hit on a defenseless player, blindside block, roughing the passer, and chop block. Now, as everybody who's listening knows, those are things that players get fined for. But the story is basically saying that after the players on a team have accrued a certain level, $100,000 in fines, well, then the team starts getting fined. And I'm curious your reaction to that.
That's news to me. I mean, that'd be the first time I've had that information to even process before I can comment on it.
So okay. Well,
I'd like to be able to provide a comment. My first is, you know, kind of shocked.
Yeah.
That it would go there, but you know, I'm not sure exactly what it is. I mean, you're talking about repeat offenders, and now they're going to try and hold the team accountable.
Basically, that's what it is, Coach.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would think that basically what it's saying is that if there are repeat offenses, and you know, people are going to point to the gentleman up in Pittsburgh, James Harrison, but that they're going to start holding, you know, the team responsible for that. And it, you know, I know they've changed their approach to a lot of things, Coach, with the collective bargaining agreement. And I'm certainly not trying to put you on the spot. This one just caught me a little bit off guard in terms of they are very, very serious about these particular things if they're willing to do that.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. I think for me, you know, there may be a time, but certainly not on my show tonight. There
All
may
right.
be a time when I can properly address something like that. But you know, I need to see exactly what it
you
is.
Got it.
I mean, you're relaying of it to me. I can just tell you that the league has taken steps to soften our game. I mean, they've you know, I think until the fans ask for more or show that they want more or demand more, I think it'll continue to slide that way. And I'm not sure that it's continuing to be what we enjoyed growing up, but it's definitely the direction we're headed in.
They're very serious about it. That much is for sure. All right, back to your football team, Coach. And in particular, let's talk about your defensive line. Obviously, you know, we've seen what Terrence Knighton and what Tyson do in the middle. Matt Roth has shown us some things, at least from, you know, the outsider's look in. So I guess what I'd ask is your impressions of Matt Roth in a couple of weeks' time, and obviously he didn't have the offseason. And how does this unit function when you get Aaron Kampman on the field?
Well, you know, obviously Aaron's another good player. I think what we have is we have a collection of some good players. You're talking about you know, Terrence Knighton and Tyson Alualu being right up there as talented as you know, we'll see. I think they can be a very talented group, a very impactful group, and certainly we're strong in the middle. I think with Aaron coming back, with the way Mincy's come on, with Roth and Austin Lane, you're seeing strength in numbers at defensive end, and you know, you can talk about defensive line, and we feel good about it, but you know, ultimately, you know, people are gonna you know, rip and criticize until we show more in terms of sack production. And you know, that's the one area that we've got to get the quarterback down, and we've got to do those things. And so I think the questions of when the guys get tired of hearing questions about stuff like that, the way it'll end is to get the quarterback on the ground.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. If you've got a thought for the coach this evening, you know, I'm looking at some of the guys behind him, and obviously you talked about the rotation at defensive end. But just in terms of your, you know, your defensive tackles, we've seen Leger and what he meant to you last year. We've seen some of DeAnthony Smith. What about the guys that back up Terrence Knighton? Do Nate Collins or C.J. Mosley give you a reasonable backup to a guy like a Terrence Knighton? I mean, I know Terrence is unique, and there aren't many guys that can do that. But
you just hit the rest of the D line. I mean, yeah, we've got a pretty good D line. So you know, I think, you know, for us, it's about coming together and playing well. We're gonna, you know, we'll play. You know, everybody that's up and active on game day is gonna play and participate, and we expect to, you know, we expect to stuff the running lanes and harass the quarterback with our defensive front, and it starts with the big guys in the trenches.
Yeah, it sure does. And Mosley, obviously, and Collins have both shown some things over the course of the preseason. How about your rookie safeties from the other evening? How did Chris Brzezinski play in his first NFL action? And your thoughts on Matt Estrada?
Well, they're good young players. I think with Brzezinski, obviously, you know, he missed some time with the hamstring in camp, and that set him back. He and Courtney Green were really in a battle to see who was going to be the, you know, be able to start at safety. And when he went down, Courtney just, you know, continued to ascend and has done a nice job in camp. And Przinski basically had to sit and watch. So now he's getting healthy again, and he's back repping again. And we'll definitely want to keep a good eye on him and how he performs in this ballgame.
You know, on that one throw out, I forget whether it was Felton Huggins or Paul Hubbard for the Bills the other night, where he made the catch and then he lost it because Przinski came over and interfered with his ability to hold on to the ball. And he came, from the hash mark. That was a pretty big-time play.
Yeah, he flashed a little bit. He's got some speed and some range, and he will make some plays for us. You know, he had a chance for an interception, kind of missed time to jump a little bit, so didn't get it there. But he, you know, he's gonna be a player that, as he continues to get experience and gets reps and gets time in our system, he'll continue to be a player for us.
Don't let me forget Rod Isaac, who made the switch, got a little time at safety. Did you see anything from him the other night?
Yeah, I saw him come up and nail a running back that had popped through, you know, and that's certainly something you've got to be able to do at safety. He's actually done a nice job of settling in and learning in a short time three different positions. You know, he's played some time at nickel, he's played some time at corner, and he's taken some snaps at safety as well. So you talk about versatility, and obviously he knows as a backup football player he's going to need to be able to provide a role on special teams to find a spot on this football team.
All right, folks, we need another break. At least one more segment, maybe two short segments with the head coach here on a busy Tuesday night and a very short week for the coaching staff and players as they get ready for the Rams on Thursday. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on Jaguars Radio. Well, fans, you can text BBQ to 72239. That's BBQ to 72239 and enter for a chance to win the Sonny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You could start the next Jaguars home game by handing the game ball to the referee. That's BBQ at 72239. Brian Sexton back with the head coach here. We'll go this segment and one more short segment, and then we'll cut the coach loose because it's Friday night in their world on a short week like this. Coach, how was getting ready for a game just a few days after the last game? Was it sort of a warm-up for what you'll do in December in Atlanta?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a warm-up for how we'll handle that. And it was a little easier to handle at this time of year because you don't have players coming off a 70 or 80-play performance. You have guys that are sharing the reps, sharing the load. I don't know that we had any one player play more than 35 or 40 snaps, so it's a little easier to come back from that than it is when you're playing 70 or 80 snaps.
So get a couple of days of practice in, try and get some guys rested, and then, you know, you have the game on Thursday evening, and then when do you start? Do you try and grab another day over the weekend, or you just come in fresh on Monday?
Yeah, we'll work them Friday. We'll condition Friday, work out, watch the film, condition a little bit, and then we'll come back Monday with extra practice. Of course, we've got the kickoff luncheon on Tuesday.
Sure.
And then we're back into a normal week beginning on Wednesday. Yeah, so we'll actually get two extra days.
And away we go. All right, let's grab a caller for you, Coach. We've got Martin, who joins us from the Riverside area. Martin has a question about the wide receiving group. Martin, you're on. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Coach, I mean, we have a decent receiving core, but it doesn't seem like we have one guy that just has super speed. Is there a young guy coming up that can just really just fly and get open? And are the guys, sometimes when they're not getting open, is it just because they're not running good routes or decent routes, or is it because Garrard is having trouble seeing them?
Okay, Martin, thanks for calling. I appreciate you taking the time to call in. Wide receivers has probably been the number one topic in my time in Jacksonville. And really, you know, since the retiring of Jimmy Smith, we haven't had that bona fide one out there. And the guy that, you know, if you got coverage, if you got single coverage, you know he's winning, and he's winning by a lot. And so we have not seen that type of guy. We think we have a good stable led by Mike Thomas. You know, really Mike was drafted originally to be our third receiver, to be a slot. But he's ascended into a role where he's a starter now, so that puts him in the top two, and a guy who's at this particular time probably our best threat, and so he's actually playing into that one role, even though he's not technically a one by anybody grading him across the league. I mean, I think he would fall more into that two category. So, we have some good players. We just don't have that Fitzpatrick type player. That we don't have that elite one that everybody's going to have on their fantasy team. You know, so that's what we have, a good solid group. They've got to be on time. They've got to run good routes, and David's got to find when they're open. And those are the things we can do as a football team to execute at a high level. I think when you go back and look at some of the things that other teams around the league have been able to do, not everybody relies on just one big star receiver out there. I think if you have good receivers running good routes, you can do some great things in the passing game.
You know, Coach, I should point out, we had Cecil Shorts on Jaguars All Access here in Jacksonville last night, and that is an impressive young man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is a guy with a lot of different skills. You there, Coach? You still with me, Coach? Yeah, it appears that we have lost the coach, so let's take a break, and we'll come back. More to come on the Jack Del Rio Show after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, here we are, back on the Jack Del Rio Show. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. One final segment with the head coach here as we get set for the Jaguars and the Rams. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show, for those of you listening on News Talk 690 here in Jacksonville. 4:30 for that on Thursday evening. Sudeth pregame show for the entire network at 6:30, followed by the Jaguars and Rams. And, of course, the Winn-Dixie postgame show to follow. And the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Rams come in with Sam Bradford, Coach. And I know that this is not a time of the year where you spend a whole lot of time on the opponent. But have you seen much of him, and what are your thoughts on the second-year quarterback from Oklahoma who really picked the Rams up on his shoulders last year and helped them improve dramatically?
Yeah, he did a nice job with them, and he's picked up kind of where they left off. And as a football team, they've had a heck of a preseason. They're coming in here 3-0, so I know they're feeling good about themselves. He's a bright young football player out of the University of Oklahoma, did some great things in college, and he's growing up. He's making some plays, and he's got some weapons. And I think he opened up the preseason with the bomb, went about 70 yards over the top of the defense first play of the preseason. So definitely be kind of the beginning of a lot of really talented quarterbacks that we're going to face on our schedule this year. And so this will be the beginning of it. And I said earlier I meant Fitzgerald, the receiver, but I said Fitzpatrick because Fitzpatrick had such a good day last week. I think I had him up there in that Joe Montana category.
I think everybody pretty much knew exactly who you were talking about. The cat out in Arizona who just got the great big contract is certainly a great player. I did want to get your thoughts real quick, and I know we've talked about him here and there. We had Cecil Shorts on Jaguars All Access last night here in Jacksonville, and that's an impressive kid. That is an impressive young football player who understands that to be a real pro means you've got to do everything. You got to handle the media. You got to deal in the community. More importantly, though, you got to be willing to do whatever it takes on the field. And he certainly seems like the son of a football coach.
Son of a football coach. He's done a heck of a job in camp. You know, the two guys that we took in the mid rounds, you know, he and Will Rackley, you know, both obviously belong, you know, in the NFL. And we're happy to have him here in Jacksonville. And with Cecil, you know, he's a guy that has a chance to do some things. I mean, he's got good hands. He runs good routes. You know, people haven't heard his name yet, but they will. You know, starting this fall when you know he starts catching the ball and putting up yardage and doing those things, he's got a chance to be a real weapon for us. And we're loving his approach. I mean, he's been from day one very serious in the way he goes about preparing to play. He's out taking extra jug practice every day after. You know, after we're done with our work with the team, he's out there getting extra on the jugs. He is a worker. He's intelligent. He catches with his hands. He runs good routes. He can return punts. I mean, he's done some good work for us in a short time.
You know, Coach, there was a lot of talk last week leading up to the Bills game about your offensive line and that they didn't play all that well in the Atlanta game. We taped your television show earlier today that will air before Thursday night's game. And during one of the plays, the jackhammers at the end of the show, we gave it to Eugene Monroe. I think that really is an indication that the offensive line improved last week. How much?
Well, they took a step forward. I mean, that's what they were challenged to do, and and they did, you know, respond and play better. And we're going to need that. You know, you can't run the football without the line moving people. You can't throw the football without the line protecting the quarterback and forming a pocket. And Eugene had a real nice physical play. Which, you know, those people that are able to tune in and see the TV show where we illustrate the jackhammer. I mean, he punches the guy at the line. When I say punch, I mean, you know, blocks him, hands in his chest, and then finishes the guy, you know, with a little bit of nasty, and it was really good to see. And more and more of that, as we get that from our tackles and our offensive linemen, you're going to see more and more big plays by the offense.
Lots been made of his weight, that he's light, that he's lean. I mean, he looks fantastic. But he looks light for an offensive tackle. Where is he and where do you want him to play, Coach?
Yeah, he's a little on the light side. We want him to be a little heavier, and he's working on it, and that's not going to be an issue for us.
All right, Coach. Well, we certainly appreciate your participation this evening, and we look forward to sitting down and getting you talking next week about the Tennessee Titans coming in for opening day.
No doubt. Looking forward to it. Sorry I missed our folks with the seafood tonight. You want to give one more plug?
Seabass Seafood. And one more plug for you, Coach. The polls are open in Atlantic Beach till 7 o'clock. Have a great night.
All right. Very good. Thanks.
That's the head coach, Jack Del Rio. We'll take this break and come back. More to come after this on Jaguars Radio. Well, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville location, Stein Mart. More fashion, less price. You know, Joe, as we look at this football team, what has ceased to be a story? The quarterbacks. I mean, I think everybody is just assuming that this is David Garrard's job to start the season, and at some point, whether it's this year or next, you know, Blaine Gabbert will step in, but because of the offseason or the lack of, that's not going to happen. Did Gene, last night on the Gene Smith Show, have anything to add on that?
David's the quarterback.
Okay. Well, there you go. There, it is no longer a story.
Unless you were listening to Brian's Jaguars report for this morning.
Yes. Well, but that doesn't make it a story. That's just my opinion.
I was very surprised that you said what you said. Your opinion is your opinion.
Right.
That's great. And you may be right.
Well, do you want to play it? Can you just play the second half of it for people who maybe didn't hear it? Dum 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 dum. Just sing along as we keep going on. I mean, I don't think it's a story. This is a football team that needs to sell tickets, and you'll hear that if Joe calls up the second half of the report there. I have a very specific opinion, and I guess Sam Bradford is the reason why. You're talking about a guy that last year came in with no wide receivers on a team that had won 3 games in 2 previous seasons, and they won 7. You know,
whenever you're ready,
and they made it to the playoffs, but in a weak division. So, all right, here you go. The Jaguars have to have their roster at 53 players by 4 o'clock on Saturday. That means 27 will get their final look tomorrow night against the Rams. In reality,
that's not today.
General Manager Gene Smith and Head Coach Jack Del Rio have numbers to
Today's
work
Tuesday.
With.
Tomorrow.
Maybe we'll have it, maybe we won't. We'll see if Joe can find that one. It's the preseason for everyone, right, Joe?
Yes, that's the correct line.
You know, and we've had a lot of people weigh in on this. And
okay,
ultimately,
this is it.
Ultimately, the decision, you know, rests with Gene Smith. And the owner and the coach are both going to have a lot to say on that as well. But you know, here's my never-to-be-humble opinion.
The Jaguars should just go ahead and make rookie quarterback Blaine Gabbert the starter. There, I said it. Is Everbank Field still standing? No one wants to admit the obvious, which is that the rookie quarterback is a far more talented quarterback and will someday take the Jaguars' places David Garrard cannot. So why not get started on that road now? You've heard all the reasons. There was no offseason for Gabbert. He's coming from a spread offense at Missouri. He's a 21-year-old true junior. I understand them all. But he's a better quarterback than Garrard, and he needs to play. The real reason they don't go with Gabbert is you or your neighbors. The fact is they need to sell tickets, and winning is the only sure way to do that. And they'll probably have a better chance to win more and thus sell more this season with David. Nothing in this report is personal. I like David and Mary Garrard very much, and he's a fine player. But while I'm a brown belt in karate and will someday be a black belt, I'll never be Bruce Lee. The same is true at quarterback. This is the Jaguars report.
And that's how I see it. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that there are a lot of people around here who think very highly of David, and I do as well. But when you see the way that this league is set up, it is set up to throw the ball. You can't hit the quarterback. You can't jam the receivers. I mean, they want to throw. And if you watch the touchdown that Blaine threw to DeJuan Harris the other night, I mean, you saw something special. And is he ready for it all now? No, he's not. No. But I don't think Sam Bradford was last year either, and nor was Matt Ryan the year before. So it was just my opinion, and I voice it, and a lot of people are going to have an opinion. I know that Jeff Lagerman disagrees with me vehemently. It's sports. It's the toy department. The thing that makes this thing work is that people have opinions. And I was willing to go on record and say it. And I think that a lot of people probably will avoid that. But not me. Because I think it's that clear that the kid is the future and the star, and let's see it. But primarily because Sam Bradford's coming in here this week, and he went into a bad situation in St. Louis. And yeah, now you read the paper in St. Louis, and you see a young quarterback that's on the rise. You know, and did he struggle? Yeah, he struggled. But he's on the rise now. And, hey, when you draft him, he's your guy. Gabbert's the future. I just think the future should start sooner rather than later. But I don't think it's going to. But I think it should. But it's not going to.
Yeah, but if he's the future, do you want him to jump in there without the proper training in the pro level?
You know what? Sam Bradford had an offseason. That's about all the more that he had. But it's just.
So Sam Bradford is the watermark?
How about Matt Ryan? How about Matt Ryan? They went to the playoffs 11-5 in his first year. And that was a team that was being reconstructed, if you remember.
More don't than do.
No. Oh, no. No. More do now than don't. I mean, we can go name for name for name. More do now than don't. It's the nature of the beast. This may be a situation where it doesn't, but more do. How about Peyton Manning? How's that name strike you? How about Mark Sanchez? How's that name strike you? You mean to keep going? I mean, you can keep going because
yeah, but
there
look
are
at Sanchez.
More.
He seems like he's hit a wall.
Been to the playoffs 3 straight years. Been to the AFC Championship game in back-to-back years. I don't know. I tend to disagree. There are people that don't think that he's all that. He's pretty good. And we're talking about a guy that came from USC to New York and stepped into play. Just an opinion. It's what we do. We create fodder for conversation. We'll take a break and come back. More to come here on the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. And welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton with you this evening. The coach has come and gone via the phone lines. But if you've got an opinion, you're certainly welcome to share it here. Dave is in St. Augustine. We hear from him quite frequently. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brian, thanks for taking my call. Something you said earlier about the game being a passing league and not being able to quarterback reminded me of something. I see David, and now blame both, getting thrown to the ground well after they've gotten rid of the ball. I mean, doing the whole kind of spin David around and slam him down thing. And with Blaine, he had gotten well rid of the ball and got hit in the back very hard. And there's never any a call for that. And years have proven that David is not going to get that call. And the Jaguars, with no, David being the quarterback, not getting that call.
David's never going to get that call. It's not fair. David should get the call. He is a quarterback. He should be protected just as any other quarterback is. But he doesn't. And
absolutely, because it affects the team as much as it affects David. You know,
bet.
And I mean,
this is not
too taking late hits.
Yep. David is a tough guy. David is a very tough guy. And so, you know, I don't know that it's right or wrong, but officials have more leeway with a guy like David Garrard, even though he's 35 now and has had a sore back, and yet he's still taking hits.
I hope that Blaine earns that respect.
Well, he'll have to earn it. You just said it. You look at Drew Brees and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and the top signal callers, now Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan, they're going to get the call. Those are the big stars, and those are the quarterbacks in the league, and they drive ratings and sell jerseys and all those things. You earn it. You definitely earn it. This is not to say, by the way, that David did not earn it. I think David's style of play is such, he's kind of they almost see him as a running back because he runs.
Let's get in and out of this game healthy, and it'll be a good night.
David will. And look, I mean, David missed some time this training camp. He's a tough guy. David takes the hits. So I think you will see him. And he will be just fine with the. And look, understand, David led this team to the playoffs in 2007, and they played so well when they were running the ball for about 154 yards a game and playing strong defense. If Maurice is healthy and David is healthy, with this improved defense, they will run the ball and they will play good defense. And the formula is there, if they stay healthy, that they should be able to be a contender in a division with a quarterback in Indianapolis that's starting to show signs of wear and tear. You know what Tennessee is. They're starting the rebuilding process. The Jaguars had already started. And Houston, you know, I mean, look, Arian Foster's hamstring or a brand-new defensive scheme. I mean, there's lots of question marks in the division. And I think that it's possible for this team to recreate what they did in 2007.
Absolutely.
All right, have a great night. We need a break, ladies and gentlemen. So let's go ahead and take it now and come back and wrap up the Jack Del Rio Show on a beautiful Tuesday evening here in Jacksonville. And you're listening to Jaguars Radio. All right, about three more minutes in the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton along with Joe Fortunato. Jaguars-Rams Thursday night, 7:30 kickoff. For those of you listening on News Talk, WOKV in Jacksonville, the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show begins at 4:30. Sutter's pregame show picks up the network at 6:30, followed by kickoff at 7:30. Winn-Dixie postgame show from the booth, from the locker room, and from here with Cole and Marco, followed by the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Get this last one out of the way and then get ready for the Titans. And if you'd like to weigh in, we only really have about 2 minutes left. So just a couple of places to pay attention. A backup linebacker is a really interesting battle right now, primarily because they have, you know, two, maybe three backup spots for a total of six total. I'm not sure that they have three guys who have distinguished themselves consistently enough to claim it. Kyle Bosworth's had a couple of moments. Russell Allen's been around here for a couple of years. I think he's, you know, a lock as a backup. Cutrera had the interception the other night. I know he's a guy who was around last year. I haven't seen much from Lutris or Lockley at all. You know, that's a spot where they're going to perhaps be looking for guys who come free over the course of the cutdown around the league. The cornerback position, to my way of thinking, has been very competitive. Obviously, you've got Cox and you've got Mathis, and Mathis has been very good since the start of training camp. Got turned around by Stevie Johnson the other night in Buffalo, but other than that, has been really solid. You know, Drew Coleman is the unsung free agent. He's a smaller guy. He plays a nickelback position where it's not, you know, the sexiest position like pass rushing end. And yet, tough guy. He had five forced fumbles, and I think he had a couple of sacks last year and a couple of interceptions for the Jets as their nickelback. Terrence Wheatley has played well. Here's a name. Watching the tape with the coach earlier today, Kevin Rutland, undrafted from Missouri. You know, big guy who runs well and plays on special teams. And on the other side, William Middleton is an excellent special teams player. And David Jones has stepped up some this time around as well. So, you know, you've got names. You've got a little depth, more than perhaps you've even thought of. I'll tell you, I really liked Chris Brzezinski. I think he's got size. I think he's got speed. I think he plays fast. You know, he jumps high. He mistimed that possible interception, but it was his first NFL game. And, you know, Rod Isaac is a guy who appears to have made the move to safety. You know, big hitter with pretty good range. You know, this team has got some interesting depth. There's some places where they don't have it, like linebacker. But when you turn it over and you look at the offensive line as well, you know, you've got Spitz and John Estes. And Estes is a guy they really believe is their future at center. And Spitz is a guy, local guy, just 6 years in the game now. I mean, he could play 4 or 5 years and he could be a starting guard, he could be a backup guard, or he could be the backup center. I mean, there's just so many different things that a guy like that does. He's their new Dennis Norman, if you remember Dennis Norman, who once started at left tackle for this team against Houston when Khalif Barnes got in trouble for driving his Mercedes too fast down Butler Boulevard. I mean, versatility, they've got a lot of it. Well, that'll do it for the Jack Del Rio Show. For those of you listening in Jacksonville, tomorrow night, John Osher, Tony Baselli, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato, 6 to 8, Jaguars this week. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.